Over the last few weeks, I've been directed by the Holy Spirit to talk about favor. Talk about favor. Talk about finding favor. Throughout the scriptures, over and over, you'll see or read where it says, if I have found favor. If I have found favor. Favor, the favor of God, is part of the package deal, if you will. It's part of our covenant that we have. I've shared this statement before, and I want to share it again. This is what the Holy Spirit gave me concerning favor. And I'm speaking from this statement as a foundation as I'm talking about favor and giving examples of favor manifesting in our lives. It's this: favor, unmerited kindness and goodness shown to one through various gestures, gifts, and acts that are evidenced in uncommon promotions, advantages, opportunities, prosperity, resources, and increase. Let me say it again. Favor. Unmerited kindness and goodness shown to one through various gestures, gifts, and acts that are evidenced in uncommon promotions, advantages, opportunities, prosperity, resources, and increase. Proverbs 8:35 said, he who finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. He who finds me finds life. He who finds me, meaning the Lord, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. The moment you and I are born again and we begin to walk out the life that God has called us to, favor becomes more evident in our lives, I believe. As a matter of fact, it was only after I was born again and looking back at my life that I could see favor has been on my life all my life. Favor from God is for a lifetime. As a matter of fact, Psalms 30 verse 5 says, his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Proverbs 3, 1 through 6 says this, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will they add to you. Just to pause there, he's saying my word, but let your heart keep my word. My word. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So then, you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. It goes on and says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Or the King James says, he will direct your path. I've made this statement, favor is not readily seen until in the moment of favor. Favor is not readily seen until in the moment of favor. I want you to know that God has a way of ordering our steps and directing us to where the favor is so that we don't miss the favor. I want to tell you that with favor, oftentimes must be the courage to ask. Say the courage to ask. That's what we see with the children of Israel when they're coming out of Egypt. You'll remember that God speaks. First of all, he tells Abraham, he says, they will be in bondage for 400 years, but when they come out, they will come out with resources. Then God speaks to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, and he says this, I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go out, you will not go out empty-handed. But then he says, every woman will ask of her neighbor. Oftentimes, there is an ask connected to the manifestation of favor. Or, let me say it a different way, an atmosphere or a situation is conducive. Favor is there so that you can ask. And that's why we have to be able to live in a place of sensitivity, because sometimes we don't know that the opportunity is there for the ask. Over these last few weeks, I've been praying into and pressing into some of the things that we need to get done around here. And one of my prayers has been, God, I try to use as few words as possible. What I mean by that is I don't pray out of a place of telling God what's going on, because he already knows what's going on. I just pray out of, Father, what do I need to be doing? One of my prayers, Pastor Val, was God, show me who I need to be talking to in this season, who can help us accomplish the things that we need to accomplish, the things that you know we need to get accomplished. Show me who to talk to get it done. And then in the midst of that, this pandemic hit. And so you're talking to a whole lot less people, seeing even more less people. And so during that time, I just found myself saying, God, just show me who I need to talk to and who I need to reach out to. And what I found is, as the Holy Spirit has led me, favor has preceded my arrival. We're talking about finding favor. Favor, or the setup of a favorable situation or a favorable response, has already gone before me. Is it possible that favor has already gone before you and you just don't know it? Is it possible that some of the things you think may be a challenge, favor has already worked that out? Favor, unmerited kindness and goodness shown to one through various gestures, gifts, and acts that are evidenced in uncommon promotions, advantages, opportunities, prosperity, resources, and increase. You ever find yourself in a situation where you get promoted and you weren't expecting it? Just raise your hand, because I know some of y'all, because I talk to y'all. I need y'all to raise your hands and work with me on this, because there's just a few of us in here. So the more that I can get some interaction, Gary, I feel a whole lot better right about now. But some of you, they came to you and said, I want you to do this. And how many of you would be honest enough to say, when it came to you, you were a little kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't expecting that. But God has a way of saying, this is where I need you. The favor is on you. And even if you can't, listen to me now, even if you can't see yourself doing it, sometimes favor has a way of causing you to look a certain way in the eyes of others, because they see something in you that you don't even see in yourself yet. Most of us, hear me now, many of us, we operate out of a prepared place. And what I mean by that is, you know, we need everything to be just in a certain way, and now I'm prepared to do it. And there's nothing wrong with being prepared, so don't miss my point here. I'm not talking about living in a place of helter-skelter or not being organized. What I am saying to all of us is, we have to be sensitive to the fact that God has a way of moving things in a direction and causing his favor to have already set the stage for us, even when it seems beyond us. But God knows deep down inside, you're the man for the hour, you're the woman for the hour. And not only is my favor working on your behalf, but my grace is working on your behalf as well. And so what I found is, as I began to talk with people, the favor began to show up. And as Pastor Jamal was sharing, when God spoke to me and said, your priority must be getting the rest of the roof repaired. Spoke to me and said, that's the priority. I shared that with our leaders and began to talk about and get the quotes in. And once we agreed on what the quote was, I began to seek out, okay, now where do the funds come from? And one of the things that I continue to remind myself is that this is God's building. Say, God's building. Come on, say, this is God's property. So he's the one who's going to supply what's needed to take care of it. Now, he has given it, or he's allowed us to be the stewards of it. Okay? We are the stewards of it. But it all belongs to God. Say, it all belongs to God. And so as a result of stepping out in faith, favor has been in operation. And so on the first approach to our roofer about the project, I said, well, we've got $10,000 given towards the roof. Could we give you that? Would you be willing to start? And he says, man, I wish I could, but you know, with this pandemic and everything, it's tough for us as well. So I can't do that. How many know that's a no? Mm-hmm. That's a no. I wish I could, but I can't do that. That's a no. But let me help you with this one, favors in operation. Don't always go with the no. Don't always go with the no. And so continue to pray, continue to ask, continue to make known the project. And then the next thing you know, we have $20,000. Which Pastor Jamal was sharing. I'm just giving you some of the backdrop of the story because we're talking about finding favor. And so I felt directed by Holy Spirit. That's my new word, directed, not led, directed. I felt directed by the Holy Spirit to ask again. Look at somebody and say, you just need to ask again. You just need to ask again. You just need to ask again. And so, I called and I left him a message, and he called me back. He said, no, I didn't hear the message. I said, well, Kelly, here's where we're at. I said, we've got $20,000 now. If we gave you $20,000, would you be willing to start the project for us so that we can get this done before the winter sets in and we can work out how we do the rest of it? He says, I can do that for you. I'll do that. You know, he said, yeah, I'll do that for you. And I said, okay, well, we can get together and talk about the terms or how we want to do it. He said, well, you let me know what you can do. Say favor. Favor. So tomorrow morning at 1:00, I'm meeting with him, handing him a check for $20,000, signed the contract, and we're on our way a week from Monday to get the rest of this roof done. Come on and bless God. I'm talking about favor. I'm talking about finding favor, and I'm talking about not letting the first no be the end all of whatever it is that God is doing. There has to be, as part of it, the courage to ask. Say, the courage to ask. We see that with Nehemiah. We see it with Nehemiah because Nehemiah, who's the cupbearer, is serving in this role only for the king to look at him out of relationship and say, man, you're not looking good. Something's wrong. What's going on with you? Tell me what's on your heart. What's on your mind? And it's at that point, see, here's part of... Here's part of it for us. When you acknowledge favors operating for your life, most likely you will be prepared for the moments when favor shows up. Let me say this in a different way. If you are not sensitive to the fact that God's favor is working in your life, you'll find yourself in some moments, some opportunities come, and they'll say, what can I do for you? And you don't know what to say because you didn't realize that this was your moment. And what I love about reading this particular passage of scripture is, Pastor Sean, Nehemiah didn't stutter. He didn't stammer. He didn't, well, you see, King, you know, I've just been praying and, you know, I've just been feeling a certain kind of way. Nehemiah, just spit it out. What's going on? He'd have to do that. Nehemiah just starts sharing. He says, this is the condition of my people's place. And my heart is broken. I want to be able to help. And if I found favor with you, King, and the king says, what do you need me to do? Now I'm paraphrasing, but he says, what do you need me to do? When favor is in operation, you will have folks say, what do you need me to do? What do you need? And when they say, what do you need to know what you need and what you desire. Because in the time of favor, ask for all of it. in the time for favor, ask for all of it. And hear me what I'm saying to you. I'm not talking about asking to heap things on ourselves. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you and I living in a place that when favor is in operation, you recognize that that favor is not just about you. It may very well be about saving the life of someone else. When favor is in operation, often you got to be in the right place at the right time. You got to be in the right place at the right time. On last week, I talked a little bit about favor from the standpoint of Joseph. We talked about Joseph and how that Joseph was one who had favor on his life, and his brothers saw it, didn't like it, and they tried to kill him. They sold him into slavery. He ended up in Potiphar's house. Favor was still in operation there. Potiphar's wife lied on him. He ended up in the jail, Pharaoh's jail. But even there, favor was still on him as well. What you see with Joseph is integrity. What you see with Joseph is consistency, meaning that by the time he got into prison, he was still allowing that favor to operate in his life. He didn't get salty about it. He didn't just shut down in the gifts that operated in him. His leadership skills came to the forefront, and it says that as that favor was manifested in his life, that the jailer put him over everything that was going on in the jail. Later on, when you look at Joseph's life, he comes out of prison and God uses him to keep a nation from going into total starvation. Say, Lord, say integrity. Integrity. Consistency. Consistency. I want to talk a little bit now of finding favor with the life of Ruth. I've enjoyed reading this and studying this because there's so much wrapped up in it. And so I want to unpack it to the degree that I can, and we may finish some more next week, because in the story of Ruth is the story of redemption. Yes. It's the story of redemption. If you're familiar with the story of Ruth, Ruth is a Moabitess. And it's interesting because when you read through the scriptures, you will often see favor connected to famine. You'll see favor connected to famine. That's right. Ruth was a Moabitess and the widow of Mahlon, the son of Naomi, and Elimelech, who were, listen to this, Ephrathites from Bethlehem, living in Moab because of a severe famine in Judah. So, Naomi and her husband, they go to Moab because there's a famine in Judah. They're there and they're living. Now, that's not unlike other patterns of a word coming, a prophet speaking and saying to someone, you need to go live here. Remember when we read about the prophet at the brook, Cherith? Okay, what's the prophet say to him? You need to get to the brook Cherith because there the ravens will provide for you. Okay, there's also another passage of scripture that I want to make note of here very quickly, and it's in 2 Kings chapter 8. If you're taking notes, write that down, 2 Kings chapter 8, because it's in this passage of scripture that you see the incredible synergism of favor in operation that's also in the midst of having come out of a famine. And it says this, "Now Elijah spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, 'Arise and go with your household and sojourn wherever you can sojourn. For the Lord has called for a famine, and it shall even come on the land for 7 years.'" Say 7 years. It says, "So the woman arose and did according to the word of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years." Now, it wasn't uncommon for many of the people of God to find themselves sojourning in the land of others who were in opposition with them. the Moabites were not friends with the people of God. Sometimes, hear me now, sometimes in challenging situations, God can move you into a space that may appear to be even more challenging. However, it's the grace and favor of God that keeps you in whatever season that you're in until whatever is going on lifts or changes. And so what we see here, it says, and it came about, verse 3, and it came about at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went out to appeal to the king for her house and for her field. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a minute because this was something that God had set in place relative to people being able to hold on to their property. God wants you to own something. He wants you to own something. He wants you to own property that you can pass on to the generations that come behind you. He wants us to own things. We're to be the head, not the tail. The lender, not the borrower. Matter of fact, he says I want to say Deuteronomy 5 or 6, maybe a little off there with that. But when he speaks to them and says, this is how you are to raise your family. You are to speak of me in your laying down and you're getting up and at the table. You know the passage I'm talking about where he says, and you're to speak of me and you're to tell your children about me and you're going out and you're coming in. But then he says this. He says, so that when I bring you into the land, the promised land, and I give you houses that you didn't build, vineyards that you didn't plant, wells that you didn't dig. He's saying, when I give you these things, they're your possessions. But when I give you these things, he says, I need to know that you will not forget me. God wants us to own things. We are supposed to own things. You are supposed to own things. And here, she owned this property. And now she's coming back after the famine, wanting to come back for her property. Now I'm showing you favor in operation. I'm showing you favor in operation. Verse 4. Now the king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, please relate to me the great things that Elijah has done. And it came about as he was relating for the king how he had restored to life one who was dead, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appeared to the king for her house and for her field. Now think about this for a moment. Out of all the stories he could be telling at that moment, he's telling the story about this lady and her son. That's no coincidence. I believe it's favor in operation. She's going back wanting to get her field back, get her land back, and not knowing that favor is setting up the situation, or a different way of saying it, God is setting up the situation to be favorable for her. We're talking about finding favor. And so it goes on and it says, let me read again, verse 5. And it came about as he was relating to the king how he had restored to life the one who was dead, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appeared to the king for her house and for her field. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elijah restored to life. Now, you can't set that kind of thing up. You can't even orchestrate that. She walks in, and he's talking about her. You ever find yourself in that kind of situation where you walk into somebody, we were just talking about you. I was just thinking about you. When the king asked the woman, she related it to him. So the king appointed for her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the produce of the field from the day that she left the land even until now. Say 7 years. Come on, say 7 years harvest. 7 years of increase. He's saying, restore back to her everything that was seemingly lost as a result of her having to leave her property. I'm talking about favor. I'm talking about favor in operation. In the story of Ruth, we know that Ruth was married to one of Naomi's sons. They were together in Moab. As a matter of fact, the sons both took Moabitess wives. During that time, they were there for about a 10-year period that her husband died, her sons died. When her sons died, she says, I'm now going to go back home, which was Bethlehem. She says to them, and this is now in Ruth chapter 1, she says to them, you all should go back to your families now. You all should go back to your families. And in verse 14, it says this, and they lifted up their voices and wept again. Now, this is talking about Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. And it says this, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Now, I'm talking about loyalty now. Then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Now, that's significant. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. I love this. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. The most important thing she could have said was this right here. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. She didn't realize what she was setting herself up for. But because her heart was loyal to Naomi, she said, I'm not leaving you. I'm staying with you. Now, you have to understand some things about Moab. Moab wasn't a great place to be at anyway, okay? It wasn't a retreat center. It had its own challenges. As a matter of fact, Moab came from Moab, who was the son of Lot. Moab was conceived out of incest. So there was all kind of stuff going on. As a matter of fact, concerning Moab, in Isaiah 16 and verse 6 through 8, it says this, we have heard of the pride of Moab, an excessive pride, even his arrogance, pride, and fury. His idle boasts are false. Therefore, Moab will wail. Everyone of Moab will wail. You will moan for the raisin cakes of Kir Hareseth and those who are utterly stricken. Moab was not the place you really desired to be. But Ruth was a Moabitess. That's her heritage. But there's something concerning Naomi that causes her to say, I will not leave you. I'm not going back there. I'm going to stay with you. She says, your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Says, where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me and worse If anything but death parts you from me. Now, how many know that's a strong covenant right there? She said, yeah, I know I was married to your son, and I've got a way out now. I mean, I can do something else. She said, but I am staying in covenant with you. And one of the things I want to say to you about finding favor and favor operating in your life is that there will be times when circumstances will present themselves to cause you to miss the favor because you're presented with a convenient way out. I shared with you that often there is a price that comes with favor operating in our lives. It goes on and says, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Meaning, when Naomi realized this young lady's serious, then she just said, come on, baby, let's go. And she makes her way on back. What Ruth doesn't know is favor is waiting for her. Favor is waiting for her. Favor, unmerited kindness and goodness shown to one through various gestures, gifts, and acts that are evidenced in uncommon promotions, advantages, opportunities, prosperity, resources, and increase. Come on, shout favor. You said favor. I said shout favor.
Favor.
Come on, say it like every like saying it's going to enact something in your word. Come on, favor.
Favor.
Favor. Unmerited kindness and goodness shown to one through various gestures, gifts, and acts that are evidenced in uncommon promotions, advantages, opportunities, prosperity, resources, and increase. I'm telling you something. If you just write that down and think about that, you're going to realize favors operate in your life. If not in one of those areas, many of those areas, or all of those areas that it talks about right there. And so we find how the stage of favor is set and how favor unfolds, if you will, concerning Ruth. And I want to tie in again. Ruth is experiencing the favor of God because of her loyalty and her commitment to Naomi. There's something to be said about remaining committed. So in Ruth chapter 2, starting at verse 1, it says, now Naomi had a kinsman, say kinsman, of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one whose sight I may find favor. Kinsman. You've heard the term before, kinsman redeemer. That word kinsman and how it comes into play goes all the way back to what God was setting in place, what we find in Leviticus. Leviticus 25, and I want to read through just a little bit of this because I need us to understand how all of this ties in, how God works everything together. In Leviticus 25, starting at verse 13, it says, in this year of Jubilee, everyone is to return to their own property. Now, how many of you know what the year of Jubilee is? And what's the number for Jubilee? Boy, y'all all over the place. Somebody said 8, somebody said 7, somebody said it's 50. 58, 58, no, it's 50. Yeah, 50. It says this, in the year of Jubilee, everyone is to return to their own property. Now listen to this. If you sell land to any of your people or buy land from them, do not take advantage of each other. You are to buy from your own people on the basis of the number of years since the Jubilee. And they are to sell to you on the basis of the number of years left for harvesting crops. When the years are many, you are to increase the price. When the years are few, you are to decrease the price. Because what is really being sold to you is the number of crops. Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, this next part kind of helps you to understand that particular principle there. Or why he sets that up. He says, follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. He says, then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? Now this is what, now I get this, this is how incredible our God is. Listen to this answer. He says, I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. Think about that just a moment. Because God says the land will need to rest in the seventh year. You need to let the land rest. Maybe you don't plant anything. You're saying, okay, so how are we going to eat if we don't plant? I'm going to bless you so much in the sixth year that that harvest that comes forth is going to get you all the way through to the ninth year. Say stewardship. Come on, say stewardship. Say kingdom economics. So here's a part. Now this is all still within favor. One of the things that God spoke to me when I read this, he said, son, so you must be sensitive to the fact that as I bless you, when I bless you, always be mindful of why I'm blessing you and what I'm blessing you for. He's saying to them, I'm going to bless you enough in the harvest of the sixth year so that it'll last you through the ninth year. The land will rest on the seventh. You don't have to worry about it. You got enough to eat. You got enough to eat for the eighth. At the end of the ninth year, your harvest will pick up again and you'll be able to move on from there. Hear me. Sometimes God brings increase to you, not so you can spend it now. It's for later. God brings increase into our lives now, not so that we can go out and buy a brand new car, or we can go out and buy a bigger house, or we can go out and buy a whole new wardrobe, or we can go on that dream vacation that we've been wanting to go on. Now, I'm just using examples. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. I'm just saying, because as I'm reading this, I'm saying, God, I hear what you're saying. As increase comes, he says, I'm blessing you now, but you're going to need to hold on to it. I'm going to need you to pull a Dave Ramsey and set up that six-month emergency fund. Amen. Amen. I'm saying amen because if Pastor Maurice is watching, I want to hear me say amen. Amen. Is it possible that God is getting ready to produce such a level of favor in your life that brings resources to you? And he says, and the resources are not for you to spend them, it's for you to set them aside. It's not unlike the way that God has worked. And we see that with Joseph. Remember when Joseph is in prison and the king has a dream, and it's a very disturbing dream, and he has that dream, I think, 1, 2, 3 times, and Joseph says to him, the reason why you had that dream 3 times is because God's going to do exactly what he said. And so he comes to interpret the dream. He says, you're going to have 7 really great years, the fatted livestock. And then there's 7 years of him skinny and lean and dying. He says, there's going to be 7 years of incredible increase, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And the king says, so what do? We're going to take from the 7 years of increase and set aside to get us through the 7 years of the famine. Stewardship. Come on, say stewardship. I believe that God is saying to us in this season, I'm going to continue to bring increase. But as I bring it to you, just know that the increase that's coming is not for you to take it and spend it immediately. You are to set it aside for times which are coming. Amen. So can I get three of y'all just to clap like that is really, that resonates with me. I believe God is speaking something right there. We're talking about here the use of the land and the property. And I'm going to get back over here to a moment, back to Ruth. It goes on and says this. Now, I'm still in Leviticus 20, chapter 25. The land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. Now, who is that talking? That's God talking. Let me say it again. The land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. Throughout the land, it says you that you hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land. Meaning you can own it for a while, but there has to be a clause in it for the redemption of the land. It goes on and says this, if one of your fellow Israelites becomes poor and sells some of their property, their nearest relative is to come and redeem what they have sold. That is a kinsman redeemer. Let me see it. Let's read that again. If one of your fellow Israelites becomes poor and sells some of their property, their nearest relative, say kinsman. You know how we say, we're kin? That's what we're saying. Are you kin to so-and-so? No, I'm John to so-and-so, but I'm just trying to see if y'all really listening to me. Kin, family, say family. Their nearest relative is to come and redeem what they have sowed. It says, if, however, there is no one to redeem it for them, but later on they prosper and acquire sufficient means to redeem it themselves, they are to determine the value for the years since they sold it and refund the balance to the one to whom they sold it. They can then go back to their own property. But if they do not acquire the means to repay, what was sold will remain in the possession of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. It will be returned in the Jubilee, and they can then go back to their property. How many of you know we need some years of Jubilee going on? We need some Jubilee. Now, Naomi had a kinsman. So I hope what I just read helps you to better understand how this works. Of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go out to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I might find favor. Now, what is she saying? Let me go to work. She's saying, I'll work. She's saying, let me go to work. And she said to her, go, my daughter. And so she departed, and she went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she appeared to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And he said to him, may the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to the servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is a young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and remained from the morning until now, and has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Moreover, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Say favor. What she just experienced was favor. What she just experienced was favor. Unmerited kindness and goodness shown to one through various gestures, gifts, and acts that are evidenced in uncommon promotions, advantages, opportunities, prosperity, resources, and increase. It goes on and says this, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" Now let me help you with something right there. What you never want to do is fall into that place where you're trying to figure out why goodness and kindness is being shown to you. See, that goes back to Mephibosheth. Who am I that you would consider a dog like me? Ruth is about to mess up her favor by trying to figure out why it is he would be responding this way to her. "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" But here's the answer, and it goes back to that commitment and that loyalty. Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after death, the death of her husband, of your husband, has been fully reported to me. And how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord," says the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. The Lord God of Israel, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. The moment she said, "Your God will be my God," she came up under the wings of the Almighty God, having forsaken and left all others and everything else that the people she was a part of, they believed. They believed in gods. She said, "I'm coming with you, and your God will be my God. Your people will be my people." And it goes on and says this. Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord. For you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Favor created the opportunity. Favor was there for her to step into her place of purpose and destiny. Because in the one exchange, not only does he allow her to glean, but he favors her and Ruth. Boaz marries Ruth. And what Ruth then becomes a part of is the genealogy all the way to Jesus. I'm talking about favor. Favor. Not missing favor. finding favor. Boaz married Ruth. They had a child, Obed. Obed had a son, Jesse. Jesse had a son, David. Favor. 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 Favor is in operation, hear me now, even when you are in some of the most difficult times of your life. Favor is still working. Favor is still in operation. When you think about it, see, it's easy to read the story. It's easy to read the story. But you have to dig deep to understand not just the context, but the impact of the story. Naomi's husband died. Ruth's husband died. They were coming out of a famine. And in the midst of it, Ruth makes the decision that I'm not going to go back to what's familiar. Naomi, I want to stay with you. I want to continue out into the unfamiliar. I don't have anything left. My husband is dead. I don't have any children. All I have is you. Where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And that choice moved her into that place of the favor of God operating in her life. It's in this season, in the midst of all of the stuff going on, that I believe God wants his church to understand, my favor is operating in your life. Allow me to order your steps and bring you into the place where favor is. Ruth had no idea what lied in store for her. But she was committed to stay with her mother-in-law. And out of that commitment, because Boaz said, when she said, why is it that you're showing this kind of kindness and favor to me? He said, because I heard about your commitment to Naomi. I heard about your commitment to stay with her. I heard about your commitment to say her God would now be your God. And with our God comes favor. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Favor. 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 Favor is better than money. I said favor is better than money. Favor is better than money. Oftentimes we think, I just need more money. When maybe what you really need is favor. What you really need is to be able to find favor, draw on the favor, access the favor. Because it's through favor that God has a way of bringing all things together. Even when it looks like everything in your world has fallen apart. Would you thank God right now for favor? Come on, thank God for favor. Thank God for favor. Unmerited kindness and goodness shown to one through various gestures, gifts, and acts that are evidenced in uncommon promotions, advantages, opportunities, prosperity, resources, and increase. Favor. Favor. Jesus. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. and all that was lost as a result of the fall of man, Jesus came to restore. Jesus came to purchase. Jesus paid the price for that which we would never be able to pay the price for. And as a result of that, we come back into not only right relationship with God, but the favor of God, the blessings of God, the covenant of God.